You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Wednesday, February the 15th. I am your host, Michael Leva, joined as always by my partner, Ian Berger, and our very special guest, the executive director of the Dolphins Challenge Cancer, Javier Sanchez. Javier, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Good evening. Fins up, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big event for the Dolphins Challenge Cancer is coming up on February the 25th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I know people can start to pick up their packets the Friday before on the 24th from noon to 7. So we wanted to have you on to talk about the event, how it's grown over the 13 years. And I guess my first question is the participation. I was on the website today just sort of looking around, and like year one had, like a few hundred people. Now you guys are up to an insane amount of people participating in this event. Can you talk about the growth of this event from year one? It was 411, actually. And now
did I see 5,500 today at the pep rally? Is that 5,500 signed up now?
No, it's up to 5,500. Yeah, talk about the growth in the participation in South Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thanks to you guys, thanks to the community getting involved, and thanks to really what the Dolphins organization has done to empower everybody to support, to ride safely, to participate. This event started back in 2010 with one initial purpose, and Mad Dog Mandich was there at the start line, along with his son, Michael. Mr. Ross was there, and they were kicking off this event. My dog had bile duct cancer at the time, and he was being treated at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. And they said, we need to do something about this. We need to do something to better our local cancer center. And that was essentially the origin as to how and why this event started, and which ultimately quickly grew to be the number one fundraising event in all of the NFL. So if we go back to 2010, but yet hit fast forward, those years, this event grew at a record pace. It started greater involving the community and growing. We went from a few hundred participants to, as Big E said, we're now over 5,500 strong. This is three consecutive years of growth of over 1,000 new people joining each year. And most importantly, the people are a huge factor to it, but there's two other really great components, one of which is the corporations are joining us. So in other words, it's not just us going and recruiting one-offs, it's corporations like Lennar, like AutoNation. They're coming in and bringing tons and tons of people to participate, which has ultimately resulted in the most important factor, which is the funds that are raised that we give back to Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. And that number to date is $53 million that we've contributed. 100% of every dollar that's raised goes directly to cancer research at Sylvester.
So that's amazing. And I'll tell you too, Javier, just this is going to be my third year participating, and just seeing how the event has grown from the first year that I was part of it, which was kind of towards the tail end of COVID when we were allowed to get out and do some stuff, to last year, which was, like you said, over 4,000 participants last year. It's an amazing day. It really is an amazing day. If you're, you know, regardless of if you're riding a bike or if you're walking. And I always tell the story that, you know, I originally never really, I was never interested in getting involved because I'm not a bike rider. And then I heard it on the radio one day, Nat Moore talking about, you know, you can walk a 5K if you can't ride a bike. And I said, well, I can walk a 5K. And I've been doing that ever since. And it's a great walk. You know, it really is. It's just a great atmosphere that everybody is there for one cause. And that is to help fight and find a cure for cancer. And I think, you know, everyone has been affected in one way, shape, or form, either it be a family member, a friend, you know, someone we know or someone else that we know that knows somebody else.
Yep.
It affects all of us in one way, you know, in one way, shape or form. So.
Yeah. Your shirt says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been lucky enough twice when in season, when they present the check to the Sylvester Cancer Center there, when they have all the people on the field, all the survivors and the people fighting cancer, they bring them all on the field and they hand over that check of millions of dollars. And you see the joy in the eyes of some, the tears in the others. That is one of the most powerful moments I've ever been around. And I guess talk about some of the research that is happening at the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center that they have and some of the progress they've made with all the money that they've gotten.
Yeah, I'd love to. But if I may, because you absolutely nailed it, that is the most beautiful moment.
It's so powerful.
When I first joined this organization just about 5 years ago, we went out to Crucial Catch within a month of me joining the organization. And I saw that check presentation. I saw the survivors on the field. The fact that we're creating these magical moments for them all throughout the season, where they're coming out and they're doing things like being part of the halftime show. They're enjoying the game. And even throughout this football season, more than ever, the team is embracing what we're doing and getting involved. You guys probably saw Jalen Waddle doing some things with Young Rocco. We had Christian Wilkins and others giving out costumes for Halloween 2 years in a row. Jalen Phillips hosted a turkey drive for cancer survivors. You know, for Christmas time, we were giving away holiday presents to families and kids. So while this doesn't fall under the cancer research and what we contribute to scope, I got to tell you, the organization, the players, they just like you all coming on board, they're embracing this and they're turning around saying, we can change people's lives. We know that they have it tough going through cancer and their families. It's not just the individual. So we're making those moments special. So that's an extra reason to just really honor and celebrate this team and for what they're doing. But to speak to your point, and I'm really glad you mentioned this, because oftentimes people turn around and say, how are you helping? Where is your dollar going? And I love this question. It's the hardest question to ask any nonprofit, but we love answering it. And there's a few big reasons. One of which is when you give a dollar, the dollar goes to the cause. You ask many nonprofits to say, what are your operating expenses? And they're going to tell you a percentage comes from the dollar. Not saying that's wrong. It's a very sound, good business. But thanks to the generosity of Mr. Stephen Ross, of course, Vice Chairman, President Tom Garfinkel, like the model here is that when you give a dollar, the dollar goes exactly where people want it to go, which is the research. And that overall has helped us, A, raise more money, but just build this trusting model that is allowing people to give with greater confidence. So it's built that trust with our community. So in that, we look at Sylvester. What have they accomplished with these dollars that we've given when you talk about $53 million? Now, this is significant impact. One big thing about that, 100% of the dollar stays local. We're not funding money that's necessarily leaving the district or anything. We're funding Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, which has 10 centers in the Tri-County area, and they're recruiting better researchers thanks to this funding to live here, to work here, and also to treat here. So we have these cancer facilities at our fingertips in our community. We have specific programs. There's one called an endowed chair in pediatrics. It's gonna be named after Sebastian Strong. Oscar Ortiz is a Columbus grad and he lost his son to cancer. And we partnered with Oscar and Sebastian Strong to name an endowed chair in pediatrics. So that's going to be a permanently funding position at Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center that funds pediatrics. You can talk to Dr. Kobitz at the DCC, and you can see the Game Changer RVs, and you can see that two and soon coming three of those are out in the communities providing health screenings and different resources for areas of need. We have a cancer survivorship chair that was recently funded, and I can go on and on and on because it's honestly very passionate and exciting for me. Dr. Crane kicked off a program called Believe in You. It's helping cancer survivors, because it's one thing to go through cancer treatment, but it's another thing to realize this is how I have to live the rest of my life, my recovery, all those next steps. Learning about the Believe in You program is specifically for those post steps. So you're going to see, you're going to hear a lot about this at the BCC and in the upcoming media. She's doing a beautiful thing over there, really just focus on the benefits and the power of survivorship. So we can keep going on and on and on. I got to tell you a couple of big, big accomplishments. This one was huge. A few years ago, Sylvester became NCI designated. That made them one of only 71 cancer centers in the U.S. To be of that level, which is giving them great opportunities. But another huge milestone they just hit was becoming a top 50 cancer center in the U.S. by U.S. News. So I know I went on probably way too long.
No, that's awesome. That,
but again, it's with that excitement of how and why it's my favorite question, because, man, this thing is just, it's doing such powerful things.
And I think, too, to add to your point, and, you know, the one thing, too, is when we get cancer, when people we know get that diagnosis of cancer, you know, automatically you start kind of getting in a dark place. But because of, you know, the Sylvester Cancer Center and facilities similar to them, they've started to create these medications that you can take that can prolong somebody's life. You know, for somebody who maybe you only thought would be around for 6 months to a year, they end up, you know, living another 5 to 10 years and sometimes longer as well. And I think that has a lot to do with the research that's being conducted in these centers, you know. So I'm grateful for what they have been able to do. And, you know, I'm walking in memory of my mom now, and I'll continue to be part of it as long as I possibly can, as long as you'll have me. But I'll be continuing to be part of this and trying to, you know, spread the word to try and raise funds for Sylvester and for the Dolphins Challenge Cancer, because I feel it is so important.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about this, you know, you're the why, man. You're the why. I think everybody, I hope everybody that listens to this podcast knows, this past heavy hitter event that we did, we honored Ian as the Jason Jenkins Impact Award winner. Just seeing what he's done to really embrace this fan base, this community, all throughout the world, but just inspire them, not only as fan of the year, but just as a great, great advocate for what we do, and that connection with your mom is beautiful. We're all honoring her. I want to let you know that.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
So the event's a couple weeks away, 10 days actually.
Yeah.
What is there anything you want to let people know? Now, there's still time to give money. Where should they go to give money? Online, sort of. What can they do? Where can they go do it? Can you share any of that information with our listeners?
The simplest way to remember it is you could go to dolphinschallengecancer.com. dolphinschallengecancer.com. And then once you're on the page, if you just want to make a general donation, we'd love for you to do so. If you want to check out Big E, just search him up, and you can actually make a direct donation specifically to his page, you know, and write something beautiful on there, because that's the whole goal of it. The best way to get involved, as you said, the event is Saturday, February 25th. Friends and family tickets are still available. The ride and run walk itself is sold out, 5,500 plus. However, if you want to attend the event, if you feel like, hey, it's Saturday 25th, I don't have much to do. I want to see Matt. I want to see Duper. I want to see, you know, Coach was out there last year. I want to see O.J. McDuffie. I want to talk crap with Sean Wooden. I want to bully, you guys have seen him. Jalen Phillips is riding the 100-mile.
Sam Madison, Channing Crowder, they're all going to be there. Man, everyone's favorites. They all show up.
Yeah, Joe Rose rides out there. I've seen Bo Camper. Yeah. I've seen Offerdahl. It's
always interesting to see if they actually get tired after the rides. But I love.
Now, I saw yesterday, Chavon Holland did an Instagram live. He was on his bike. Yeah. So I don't know if he was getting ready for it. He was just out there talking, but he was on his bike. Year. So I got a feeling he's going to be there riding. Because I saw that yesterday on Instagram.
We should have started with this part. This is the more exciting part. But yeah, Christian Wilkins is out there. That was a great video of him bear hugging Coach last year. There's a lot of excitement. Miles Gaskin had ridden before. Lots of guys.
I saw Andrew Van Ginkel out there last year as well. He was out there. And
Everyone shows up. Yeah, past and present, they all show up for this. And they'll take pictures, sign your autographs. Everyone's
and don't underestimate the cheerleaders. Cheerleaders come out full force, riding everything from the 100-mile ride. Seriously, like when we give shout-outs and props to the organization, we like to do it all the way through. Everyone from Tom Garfinkel to you know, the cheerleaders to the players to the alumni, the groundskeeper staff, you know, everybody comes out for this one. And we, you know, here's a random one. We even got the CEO of F1 that's going to be riding in Bahrain that weekend out there. He's riding on the track.
Nice. Very nice. Because we walk on a track, don't we? We walk on the F1 track. So that's the other cool thing about it.
The F1 track is in the general area of where the 5K is at. So you do get to see that. You see the Miami Open, you see the stadium, and you get to see and hear the beautiful stories as to, you know, the power, that one team, one fight power that you feel that day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Javier, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Again, everyone, go to DolphinsChallengeCancer.com. If you can give, whatever you can give helps. There's no amount too small. Any little bit helps. And February 25th, 10 days, be here before you know it. Another outstanding event. And I know the day after, you start working on Dolphins Challenge Cancer number 14, 2024. There is no rest. The day after starts the next preparation for the next one because it's a year-round thing. It's awesome. Am I right?
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. We will. I'm gonna make one. We will continue fundraising for 2 weeks following.
Yes,
that's right. That's right.
Yes,
it continues. Absolutely. It continues.
Come on, we need a couple days off here.
A couple days off. Okay, Javier, thanks so much. Really appreciate you joining us tonight.
All right, guys.
See you in a week and a half, Javier. Take care, buddy.
See you soon, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, E. That was awesome. And everyone, if you need any information on the Dolphins Challenge Cancer, we have stuff up on our website at DolphinsTalk.com. The link's always up on the site all year round. Takes you right to the website where you can give. And of course, you can, if you need any, if you have any questions or stuff, you can always reach out to Ian on Twitter at Ian693. Reach out to myself at DolphinsTalk. We can always point you in the right direction if you have any questions or anything and sort of get the information you need. But 10 days away, and it's always a great event. And like I said, twice I've been lucky enough to be on the field at halftime, on the field where they stand at the 50. I'm just a few feet away with the rest of the media taking pictures and stuff. Seeing hundreds of people, cancer survivors and families of loved ones with the shirts and holding up the names of the people in their families that might have been lost to cancer, but the ones who've survived as well. And as a hand over that check for $5 million, $6 million, $8 million, whatever the amount is for that year, it is the tears of happiness and joy, I always say. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever been a part of, just being there up close to it. And it's, as we always say, Ian, we all want to see the team win on the field. We know. But there's more important things in life. And this is one of the more important things in life. Deals that this organization hits a grand slam with every single year. And it only gets bigger and it only gets better. And it'll continue to get bigger. It'll continue to get better. And it will continue to grow. And it's awesome.
Yeah. And if anybody's going to show up on Saturday, I'll be there most of the day. I'll definitely be doing the walk. Like Javier said, you can show up to kind of the atmosphere, the party atmosphere.
Just mingle.
And mingle. And it's, I think it's, he said it was $25 a ticket if you're not registered already to walk, which, you know, is good for a Saturday afternoon. It's pretty much the entire day from pretty much 8 until 2 o'clock. And they have some food, they have some drinks. It is a really, really cool event. And I'm going to be walking with, 305 Sports Babe, our friend Ashley, and her boyfriend Lewis, they're going to be walking around. And then what's amazing about this too, Mike, is that they have people who will fly into town specifically for this. You know, my friend Stephen Philippus, I've seen him. He was a gentleman a couple seasons ago. He donated his tickets to the military member from the cardboard cutout that I had met.
Yes.
So. Yep. He's coming down to walk the walkathon. So he's going to be walking around. And then I have to give props to Robert Horvitz. He is the Miami Dolphins rep. He is my walking partner. And this will be the third year in a row that we're going to be walking together. And we just, you know, when you're walking with people that you like and you have some nice conversation, you get done with 2.5 miles before you even know it. And it's like, oh,
yeah,
we need to continue talking. So, but it's a great event. And if you can make it, make it. If not this year, definitely put it on your list for next year. Yeah, and
it's every February. It's every February. You can set your calendar to it, the actual day and stuff. They'll probably announce next year's, you know, in a few weeks or months or so. But it's usually around the end of February every year. And everyone in our lives knows someone who's been affected with cancer. And as he said, dollar for dollar is an amazing thing. Because a lot of charities and orgs and nonprofits, and as he said, it's not a bad thing. Some of them have to operate. They have to pay for, like, you know, rent and stuff. So they can't do $1 for $1. They have to take a percentage, which is totally understandable, like he said. But the fact they're doing dollar for dollar, wow, that is impressive, because not all of them do that. And the fact that they can because of Mr. Ross and others is really, really cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I've done a few shows here in the past few weeks, so we're going to get some of your thoughts here. We're going to not be quite rapid fire, but we're going to fly through some topics. But first, yeah, since I didn't do it at the top of the show, let me get out some shout-outs. As always, a big shout-out to everyone watching and listening over at FinHeaven.com. Everyone go to FinHeaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout-out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group run by the great, talented, handsome, and amazing Carlos Hernandez. Carlos, how you doing, buddy? Everyone, if you're on Facebook, please be a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. And also for those of you watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you as always. Be sure to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and also hit the alert bell as well, so when we go live with the show, you are notified right here on your smart device so you can join us in the chat. Okay, let's start with this one, E. Miami Dolphins fans, long national nightmare is over. Zach Thomas is now going to enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2023. Dolphins fans can rejoice. It's over. No more yelling at, you know, we're going online. No more screaming at the voters. He's in. Like, we all knew he would get in eventually. So I guess what are some of your thoughts here on Zach Thomas going into the 2023 Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I'm just going to start out by saying it's about darn time. The statistics kind of speak for themselves. The work on the field, the videos of all of his plays. Yeah, the Dolphins weren't Super Bowl contenders during that time when he was a defender, but, you know, he was an integral part of the success of the defense when he was on the field. And just, finally getting the recognition, I think it's not just a win for Zach. I think it's a win for all of us, you know, because I don't think there's one Miami Dolphins fan out there that would say they didn't want to see Zach in Canton. You know, I think everybody was pulling for him, and you could just tell by his emotions when they showed the video, you know, that you posted with Jimmy Johnson, you know, making the announcement at his house. Like, he was,
they had a funny story behind that video too.
He was honored, but he was also relieved, I think, you know, because for him, think about all the times when he, his fourth time that he was in the final, he was a finalist, and they finally selected him instead of him getting that call. Sorry, you know, you're not being selected this time around. So good for him. Good for him. And I am, I'm excited, not just for him, but the entire organization, because we have gone, it feels like forever. What was the last one? Jason Taylor was the last.
Jason Taylor.
Right? Last one going into. Yeah. And
unfortunately, and here's the thing, you know, not to put a wet blanket on this, after Zach, it might be another. I mean, Bob,
we're going to be banging the table for Richmond Webb, man. That's going to be the next one we're going to be banging the table for. But that might be
I love Richmond as much as the next guy. That's going to be a tough road to hoe. Bob Kucherberg's probably the next to get in, but unfortunately, Bob's not with us anymore. And plus, he played so long ago, most of the younger fans don't even know who he is. I mean, honestly, it's just a fact. He is, and he's actually the only link between the 1972 Dolphins and the Marino Dolphins, as he played with both. So that's how long he played, how good he was. But Bob's no longer with us anymore, so he might get in next, but that's not going to have the same type of buzz that this one does, because most everyone alive and knows what's going on saw Zach Thomas at some point play. So that's why there's excitement behind this. Now, Richmond Webb and Mark Clayton, when we had on Seth Levitt and OJ back in the summer there, they probably should be in the Hall of Fame. The problem is they've been off the radar for so many years. I know Richmond's, he gets on like the first round of voting, then he's off after. I love Richmond Webb. Nobody loves Richmond Webb more than me. But just being honest and realistic, he's probably not getting in. it's unfair, especially since they put in Tony Baselli. And I think Webb has a much stronger resume than Tony, but fair or not, life ain't fair. I don't think he's getting in. I think the next guy who's got a realistic shot of getting in is probably Tyreek Hill. And what's Hill going to be known for? His time with the Dolphins or time with the Chiefs? Most people are going to think of his time with the Chiefs unless he wins a Super Bowl in Miami, and then that would change things.
Yeah.
Our lips to God's ears. But I think right now, at least, obviously, it's just been 1 year in Miami. So this might be a longer wait till we get the next one in outside of Kuchenberg. Ricky's not going. Ricky's not even the Miami Dolphins Ring of Honor. That's all you got to know about the Hall of Fame. There is 0.0 chance. Nothing against Ricky. Great player. That guy quit, was suspended more times than anybody I know. It ain't happening, folks. It might be a wait. But, Zach, it's going to be August 5th. Hotel rooms out there in Canton, book up quick, folks. So if you want to go, you better book your flights and your hotels. Not necessarily the flights, but the hotels, you better book it now. Yeah. The flights, I wouldn't wait too long either, because you got a couple guys from the Jets going in. So there's going to be some big fan bases. We're going to be, out, like every year they do, converging Canton. But you're going to have some fan bases that haven't had guys in a while, like the Jets, like the Dolphins. So you're going to have newer fans who maybe have been putting off traveling to Canton now wanting to go. So things are going to book quick. So if you're thinking about going, don't hesitate, I would say, and book early. And it's going to be a lot of Dolphins fans out there.
Who knows? Maybe
And who knows? They might even play in the Hall of Fame game, get that extra preseason game. I don't know. They usually like to pick guys who from the teams who other people being inducted. So you got a couple guys from the Jets. You got a Browns guy there. You got a Cowboys guy. You got a Bengals guy. You got a one guy for the Dolphins. So who knows? Miami might even have an extra preseason game out of this as well. But, yes, congratulations to Zach by far. And that video that went super viral is probably not for on there, so I'll tell you off there. Other news. Dolphins today. Vic Fangio. New defensive coordinator. Some fans too happy, but he's a new defensive coordinator. I know there's a lot of stress around this. And look, he has an impeccable resume as a coordinator. As a head coach, it was a dumpster fire in Denver, and it wasn't good. But as a coordinator, his resume speaks for itself. He's impeccable. And we'll see, because I know last year, Josh Boyer, a lot of fans – It's what fans do. Like to pin everything on one guy. He's the problem. Get rid of him. Well, it's obviously just not one person's fault. Was he part of the problem? Absolutely. He wasn't the sole reason for all the problems. So Vic Fangio comes in. It's going to be totally different defense. 3-4 personnel. A lot of zone. Cover 2, cover 4, cover 6. It's going to be totally different. But Vic Fangio's here in Miami. Ian, your thoughts?
I first of all, I'm really excited that he's here, and I'm really excited that he finally signed the contract. You know, it was really kind of a head scratcher. First of all, you know, how it was announced originally, and then we bounced around to, well, he might be considering these other job openings, and then bounced back to, well, he's definitely with the Miami Dolphins. And then you hear that he signed, you know, as a 2-week consultant, right, for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then all of a sudden they've got both of their main coordinator positions, positions open.
And everyone thought he worked with them all year, the Eagles, and it comes out over the weekend. He didn't work one day with them until the past 2 weeks. So, well, he's been a consultant with the Eagles. Of course he can't sign. No, he hadn't worked with them one day all season. The misinformation that was out there on him was insane.
Yeah, but at least we got some clarity on that he was with them for the final 2 weeks. And if I remember correctly, he wasn't working with the defense. He was working with the offense, preparing them for the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs. But I'm glad that he signed today. You know, here's my thinking with Vic. First of all, I think that he's much better as a defensive coordinator than he was as a head coach. And that could be for a plethora of reasons. But here's the question I ask you, Mike. How long do we anticipate him being here as a defensive coordinator? You know, and I think he might be one of those guys. If he has a good year, could you see him trying to jump in as a head coach again next year, or do you think he'd stick around as a defensive coordinator?
No way. For two reasons. One, he's going to be 65. That's number one. Ah. And two, it was so bad in Denver. Now, we're going to talk about the new offensive line coach and all the stories that are out there about him. But a lot of those stories, now, mind you, he wasn't there at the same time as Vic Fangio. But there are many similar stories. If you Google Vic Fangio and Vic Fangio and Sua Cravens, Vic Fangio and Wolf, Vic Fangio could not communicate with his players. He could not get along with his players. He had to issue an apology about racism. He threw his quarterback under the bus at a press conference. The Vic Fangio experience with the Broncos as a head coach was so bad. And I'm not crapping on the hire. I'm just saying he'll never get a head coaching job again. It was that bad. So yeah. I see this as his last stop in the NFL. He's going to be 65. I don't see this guy coaching until, you know. Now, look, if after this year they have a horrible season of Dolphins and everyone's fired, yeah, he might take a job next year somewhere else. But if he's here for 2 or 3 years with Mike McDaniel, this is probably his last stop. But as a coordinator, he's very, very good. He's good at that role. And some guys aren't head coaches. Some guys are coordinators. We've seen that in Miami with Cam Cameron. We've seen that in Miami with Joe Philbin. We've seen that with Adam Gase. Some guys just aren't head coaches, and that's okay. And I think Vic Fangio falls into that category. But as a coordinator, you know, his resume speaks for itself. Everyone's copying his scheme. The Chargers run his scheme. The Packers run his scheme. The Bears. Everyone runs his scheme because in this new wave of fast-paced, fast-break offense, his scheme works. It will. Now, look, you're not going to shut down teams. You're not going to hold teams to under 10 points or 20. But you can, you know, slow it down, not let them score 30-plus most weeks. It's going to happen every now and then. And it gives your offense a fighter's chance to win games if they can score any points. So his offense, it's going to be totally different. I mean, what he runs is going to be totally different on defense, but we'll see. I'm very excited to see what this means. I've done a lot of research on this, on what he runs, because I didn't really know. I think Javon Holland is going to become a superstar in this scheme. I think Xavien Howard, I have high hopes for him to have a bounce back year in this scheme. I'm worried about the linebackers a lot. But I think a couple of the young secondary players, a couple of them, Holland especially, are going to shine because his scheme is predicated on safety play especially. That's the key part.
We're going to get Nick Needham back too, right? And I think he's a pretty,
I don't know,
pretty solid
He's
option.
A free agent. He's a free agent.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll see.
He's a free agent. So we'll see. And it's going to be interesting. So the show I did with Aaron a couple weeks ago, I don't think they're bringing back both Needham and Jones because Jones obviously missed the whole year, blah, blah, blah. We know if they resign Nick Needham, I think Jones is going to be a post-June first cut. If they let Nick Needham walk, I think they're going to hold on to Jones. I don't think they can afford both just because of salary cap issues and some other stuff. So I think they'll keep one or the other. I have no idea which one. That's just like an educated guess. But I think the guy who's going to struggle is the other Jones, which might be
Brandon
Jones. I'm not sure if he's a fit for this scheme. So they might use him more as a linebacker and like in the box type safety. And they might need to get another rangy, more athletic safety to put next to Holland, either in a draft or in free agency. Because how he likes to run his scheme is not have a true free safety, true strong safety. He likes two interchangeable safeties. So he might need another guy with some speed who can cover a lot of ground. Because safety's got to be able to cover a lot of ground. And Brandon Jones, his strength is not in coverage. So they're going to have to find a role for him, which they will. But they might need another lengthy, rangy, athletic safety. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. And the other part is heading into next year. Hopefully they can stay healthy. Hopefully you get Agba back at full strength because he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. You got to get him back full strength at corner. You know, Trill Williams, obviously we only saw him in the preseason, but the arrow was pointing up with him. So hopefully
significantly.
That continues. He's not significantly pointing up. And
Cater Kahua is going to be around next year. And you know, he was kind of a diamond in the rough. Right?
And Brandon Jones. So once these guys are all back, we'll see. But
Here's kind of what I'm looking forward to, because I'd love to get to a point and get to a place where our front four can be disruptive against the offense. And that's something that
we're paying enough.
I mean, if you got Jalen Phillips, which I think he also has that arrow pointing up, right? From what we saw last season. And then you get Emmanuel Ogba on the other side to that. And then you got Christian Wilkins, you know, and Chubb. Yeah, you can't forget about all these.
That's the thing. We can't invest any more money in this position. Right. That was
they part of the show well. I did.
Like, we've overinvested in certain parts of this team. We can't keep investing because that's why we have no guards. That's why you have no real running backs. That's why you have holes of some other spots because we overinvest in corner. We overinvest in pass rush. We still can't get a stinking pass rush.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be the year that they say, all right, well, we're not going to zero blitz as frequently as Josh Boyer did, because that was kind of like
never. Yeah,
right. Exactly. I mean, that was kind of his signature move. It was like, what are we going to do? Just throw everything at him. Well, we'll put the pressure on the cornerbacks and the safeties in the back and see what happens there. But if our front four can make a difference, it is huge for everyone in the backfield, linebackers. And here's the other thing, Mike. I would love to see what Channing Tindall can do. You know, the poor kid didn't really see the field teams, I think, once or twice, right? And
there was a reason for that too, though.
Well, yeah, but you drafted the kid high, right? You drafted the kid last season. You've got to see what he's able to do. So you got to put him out there, and he's got to be productive.
Well, that was part of the reason. So the first few games he was still getting acclimated, and in the Bears game when they played Fields, the goal was, okay, your job is to shadow Fields and don't let him go nuts.
250 yards later.
In the second quarter, they had to pull him from the game. So when everyone said, right, they gave him a chance. They gave him a chance only to do one thing, spy. One ask him dropping coverage. One ask him do nothing. Just spy one player in one game. He couldn't do it. So when everyone says, they gave him a chance. And they didn't expect him to, you know, wipe him out of the game. But we all saw what we saw, too. That's so right. Here's the thing. The most important thing this offseason, which we'll sort of, as we segue into the next one, you know, you talk about coaches to the cows come home. Because in Miami, we do two things well. We have the Dolphins Cancer Challenge, and we get rid of coaches faster than anybody else. We can talk about coaches out the yin-yang. It comes down to players. What we saw in the Super Bowl this past week are players make plays. And we cannot go back at linebacker next year with the Sam Aguavons of the world, with the Landon Roberts of the world, with all those guys. You know, we can't bring back the band. Every year, we say our linebackers stink. And then every year, we re-sign them all to a one-year contract, and we add pretty much nothing. We give them no help. You can't. It's like, what's the sign of insanity? Banging your head against the wall.
Same thing over and over again.
Same thing over and over again, and you expect a whole new result?
Yeah.
You got to blow that room up. Outside of, like, one guy, you got to get rid of the rest, honestly. Let's see what they do there, which leads us into the other news since we've last spoken, E. The Dolphins have a new offensive line coach, number 10 in 9 years. Set your watch to it. In about 12 months, we'll be talking about the next one because that's what we do. Butch Berry of the Broncos. Now, I know I did a couple shows, and for those of you who might have missed it, I'll just give a quick summary. Folks, it don't matter. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. I see fans getting so upset about who the offensive line coach is. And I want to say, why do you care so much? It doesn't matter. We go through these guys like socks. And here's what I'll say. If you want to tell me we have 10 to 9 years, you want to tell me one or two of them are bad, I buy it. You cannot tell me all 10 were bad or all 9 were bad. You can't blame every one of them for the offensive line failures. You want to know why the offensive line fails? Ian, I'm going to read you a bunch of names. Tell me which one of these guys, A, were any good, and B, left here and did anything for some other team. All right, let's roll the tape. Right. Evan Brown, Sam Brenner, Shelly Smith, Jameel Douglas, Evan Boehm, Zach Stirrup, Ted Karras, Jake Brendel, Jermaine Bushrod, Sam Young, Isaac Asiata, Adam Pankey, Daniel Kilgore, Julian Davenport, Shaq Calhoun, Ted Larson, Michael Dieter, Solomon Kinley, Jesse Davis, Dallas Thomas, and I'll even throw in Juwan James. Not one of those guys were any good when they were here. They weren't good when they left here.
Dallas you Thomas was good, right?
George, who?
Didn't he go to Green Bay, or am I thinking of somebody else?
You're Dallas thinking Thomas? Of... No, Dallas Thomas flamed out of the league. You're thinking of someone else. Here's the deal. You can dig up George Halas, Tom Landry, and Don Chula from the grave. They ain't coaching that group up. There's no offensive line coach who's ever walked planet Earth who can coach them up and make those guys good. So I don't care who you want to pin it on Matt Applebaum, go for it. You want to pin it on the next guy, go for it. It don't matter. Because until you improve the talent on the offensive line, It doesn't matter who's the coach is. So don't get worked up. If we go into next year, and I know, folks,
Brandon Schell,
this isn't a prediction. This is a spoiler. Here's what we're going to do. In the draft, or we'll sign someone in March to play right tackle. Maybe he's good, maybe he's not. I have no idea whether our general manager's track record, I'm betting on it being any good. And then we'll let, and then we're going to, and then they're going to sell you, the fans, that Liam Eikenberg ain't that bad. Austin Jackson can play guard, and Robert Jones is an up-and-coming player. We're going to let them fight it out in camp for the left guard spot. We're going to go out there with the same group as last year, pretty much, adding one guy at right tackle. Armstead will miss his 3 to 5 games like he always does next year, because that's what he does. Left guard will stink, and it's the it's like, what's insanity? The same, it's the same circle. You want to tell me you're making a big change and you're serious about fixing the offensive line? Pay for a right tackle, pay for a left guard, no rookies, pay for proven players, and tell Austin Jackson you might have a job at the end of August or you might not. Tell Liam Eikenberg you might have a job at the end of August or you might not. I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care about the cap hit. That there's no real savings if we move on from. I don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care. I know guys who can play, and I knew guys who can't play. And I've seen guys can't play, and they just stay here forever, and we're going to blame it on the next offensive line coach or the last offensive line coach and just pin it on them when they're not the issue. That's – and when you're on 10 and 9 years, that should tell you something.
So it was Billy Turner, by the way. Billy Turner, and Dallas Thomas Dallas Thomas both got cut at the same time. It was like 4 weeks into the new season.
That was the Adam Gase one after the Bengals game where he just got rid of everybody, which was the one good thing that he did right, Adam Gase. He goes, I've seen enough. I can't take this anymore. That was the one thing he did right. And, you know, at some point, you just need to have that moment where I can't watch this. How many times can you watch a guy fail? I mean, seriously, we watch the same people fail. We, you know, and
here's what I'm going to say, though, Mike.
Go for it.
To offset, you know, and you might not be wrong, right? But I do have to say, I think we found our center, Connor Williams.
Yeah, okay.
Connor
That's
Williams
one of five spots.
Diamond in the rough, you know. And I think at this point too, we've got to figure out a way to keep guys healthy, which I know is hard to say, hard to do in any physical sport. But if Teron Armstead can give us 2 or 3 more games this season than he did last season, that could be the difference between 2 or 3 additional wins. Because when he is on the field, he really does make a big difference on that football.
Oh,
field.
He's the best player. He's amazing. The problem is, and this is going to be a big conversation, not for tonight, but as we get into the summer months, into the season, where everyone starts making their predictions after free agency, after the draft, when you start looking at the teams, or okay, now we know who's on each team. There's no more big moves to be made. Everyone starts making their predictions. The big talk's going to be, well, when you make your prediction for the Dolphins, you got to factor in that your left tackle is going to miss 3 to 5 games because he does every year. You got to factor in your starting quarterback's going to miss 3 to 5 games because he does every year. And you can't run away from that anymore. You can't. The resume speaks for itself. That's just what those two guys do. And to expect them to play a full 17 games and then hopefully playoff games, multiple playoff games, and not miss any time, I think is just unrealistic at this point when it comes to those two players. And when it comes to this offensive line, yeah, they need a right tackle badly. They need a left guard. And then the next big one is you need a backup left tackle because right now they don't have one of them either. They just don't. And that was a big part of the problem this year is, A, nobody could stay healthy, and B, zero depth. And I don't need to see Austin Jackson on the field next year. I just don't.
We've got our window, right? It's about 2 to 3 more years of this window.
You got this year and next year, and then it's over.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got to figure out something pretty quickly to make this work. And, you know, and I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be here, and I'd be quite okay.
Oh,
with
I'm
that.
Not so sure about that.
Really? You don't think so? I did see a write-up that said that it might make more financial sense because he's not going to find a job anywhere else.
No. Well, I did a show on this too. Here's my two-pronged theory. One, it doesn't matter who the backup quarterback is because if he goes down to a and he misses significant time like he did this year, your season's over. So because with each concussion he has now moving forward, he's going to miss more and more time. So if he gets hurt in September, October, he's going to miss like a lot of the season. If he gets hurt late in the year, he's going to miss the playoffs. So it almost does because who's the number two quarterback out there? Who's the guy that if you sign him and he has to play 6 or 8 weeks or 5 weeks, whatever, They're going to beat a Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes. They're going to beat Joe Burrow, Herbert, Watson. There's nobody out there. You might sneak a win here or there, but you're not going to have a run with a number two quarterback in the AFC. No way, no how. So it's almost like, why spend money on the number two? Because if your number one goes down, your season's shot anyways. And for most teams, you can say that. The problem is for Miami, you just know your number one misses a lot more games than your normal, typical quarterback. So I wouldn't spend a ton of money on a number two. And out of the names that are out there, there's nobody that's any good. I mean, you want to go out there for a number two quarterback and pay for Sam Darnold or Mayfield, you're going to overpay for guys who still can't beat Herbert, Burrow, Allen, Mahomes in big games. So why overpay for it? Just throw out Skylar Thompson, pay Teddy Bridgewater $5 million, not $10 million, and say, you're a number two. Who cares?
Here's your only option. Because it doesn't even matter. Get more anywhere else either. Well, and that's the thing too. You've got to really make a decision on Skylar, right? Because I think they can use that roster spot for someone else instead of carrying three quarterbacks every game.
No, they have to carry three.
Well, I know what you're going to say because of the threat, you know, of Tua potentially getting injured. But if they're going to, I don't know, keeping three quarterbacks, that's not the tradition within.
No, it's not. But we don't have a traditional number one. And I don't even want to talk about him because I know people get so freaking crazy. He's here. He's your quarterback next year. There's really nothing to talk about. But when he's your number one, you have to just be honest with yourself. And not like as fans, yes, as fans, but as an organization of he's not a traditional number one because he misses so much time, whether for one thing or another, that you have to be ready with multiple quarterbacks. And again, when you look at the list of free agent quarterbacks, I read it up. It is pathetic. I'm sure some guys are going to be cut. But here's your free agent quarterbacks, Mayfield. And I'm not reading the names like a Carr who's going to start somewhere or a Jimmy G because they're going to start somewhere. They're not coming here to be number twos.
Sure.
You got Sam Darnold, Mayfield,
Case
Keenum, Mason Rudolph, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton. I mean, it's like, that's what you're looking at. Tyler Heinicke, if you want to go nuts, but again,
he's going to Washington.
Yeah, but he ain't going to stay because they're going with a quarterback, Howell, that they drafted from North Carolina, and then they want to make a big move this offseason if they can get a big-name guy. So he's out in Washington. But, again, you're going to pay him $9 or $10 million, and he ain't going to win you no games if he's got to play. So you're looking at, Chad Henne retired. You can't go back to him. There's just nobody out there. So it's like, why invest big money? Give me Teddy for $5 million. Who the hell cares? Because if Tua goes down, we're screwed anyways. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little more optimistic, and I'm going to say that, you know, the judo training is going to help our fearless leader, our quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, and he's going to learn how to fall a little bit more gracefully. And he's not going to miss games due to injury, or he's not going to miss as many games due to injury as we have seen over the last 2 years. So I'm going to be optimistic and say he's going to come in, he's going to play, and hopefully these concussions will be behind him. You know, it's going to be 6 to 9 months between the last time that he played a game to the first
Christmas
game Day. Of the season, right?
Christmas Day, the second week of September.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, not counting the preseason, although I guess we got to count it because of him.
I think they'll probably try not to put him in as much as possible, you know, well, except maybe one.
Yeah, but the last hit he took on Christmas Day was just a routine play. He just fell to the ground. There's nothing. I mean, you can train all you want in judo. That type of hit, you're going to have to sustain. Anyone's better than
a lot of people don't like that. They don't want to spend any
time. Go sign Joe Flacco. Go sign Mason Rudolph.
We saw Joe Flacco up close on that. He helped us. He helped us get to the postseason. We appreciate Joe Flacco. Maybe we should reward him with a contract.
Hey, and his son is a big fan of Tyreek Hill. Show up to the game in a Tyreek Hill jersey. Pissed off everyone in New York City. Literally pissed off. Then New York City radio that following day. Can you believe Joe Flacco's son wore a Tyreek Hill jersey? Everyone's he really might as well come here. Why not? A lot of people go to retire in Miami. We've seen that before. I guess, what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl as we wrap up here?
I thought it was a very entertaining game. Got a chance to spend time with my dad and a gentleman who's actually in here, Steven Paulson. I went to his house. He had about 10 people over. You know, the thing is, when you don't have your team in the Super Bowl, you just want it to be a good game, high scoring, or at least a competitive game. And once it got to halftime, you know, and the Chiefs were down by 10, I was like, and then you saw, you know, you saw Mahomes limping off the field before the end of the half. I'm like, this game is going to stink. And then Mahomes came in as if nothing was wrong. And he proved, you know, that he was the MVP. And, you know, now people are starting to talk about him as being the next Tom Brady, the next guy that we're going to have to, jump over, there. You know, two out of four of the last Super Bowls he's been in, and two out of four they've won. So
no, he's been in three out of the last four.
Three out of the last four, and two of the four he's won.
And he won two. And if he retired tonight, he would go down as a top five quarterback in NFL history if he never played one more game.
Yep.
And they were talking about this morning on ESPN. They're saying no one's probably going to win seven like Brady, but that doesn't mean someone can't surpass him as like the best ever. And if Pat Mahomes gets like five, his five might be more, it might be more impressive than Tom Brady's seven in some ways because of how he does it, the style of play he's doing, and not having the greatest coach of all time on his sideline either. So, yeah, I mean, look, Pat, as long as Pat Mahomes in the AFC, it's his world. We're just hoping to get like a year, like a miracle year, where he has an off year and some other team can sneak through. AFC's brutal, and it might be getting more brutal because I got a feeling Aaron Rodgers is going to the Raiders. So I just think the AFC, when you look at all the quarterbacks in the AFC, it is a gauntlet of superstar future Hall of Fame. When you just look at Josh Allen, when you look at Joe Burrow, when you look at Lamar Jackson, even Watts, I know fans don't like what he does personally on the field. You know, he was an MVP almost a couple years back, and he'll get back to form soon enough. Then you look at, you know, Herbert, Mahomes, if Rodgers comes in, Trevor Lawrence won a playoff game, carried his team back from 27 points. He's an ascending player. And now you're going to have teams like Houston and the Colts picking at the top of the draft, taking guys, young, top pick number one and two, possibly, as we're already talking about the Colts making a move up, taking the quarterback from Alabama, taking the quarterback from the AFC has all the quarterbacks. And then you look at the NFC and it's Dak Prescott and Daniel Jones. It's like the AFC is just a gauntlet of superstar quarterbacks, and to go through it it's brutal. It really is brutal because quarterbacks mean so much in this game. And yeah, if Rodgers goes to the Raiders or the Jets, it's really
talk about brutal. I'm looking at the 2023 Miami Dolphins schedule. Not only do we play both of these Super Bowl teams, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs next season, but we get a rematch against the Chargers. We're at home against the Raiders. So if they do end up getting Rodgers, he's going to be playing in Miami for 2 years in a row. We're at home against the Cowboys, you know, and then we're at home against the Giants as well. So
yeah, the home schedule is great. The road schedule is a little softer. The home schedule is brutal though.
It's crazy. I mean, we also have like the Tennessee Titans, which I think they're kind of in flux right now. Also the Carolina Panthers, they're probably in a little bit of flux.
Rebuild.
Yeah, exactly. But we've got, and the other one is at Washington Commanders. I still don't know if they know what they're doing yet, but it's a tough schedule next season. Just to have the two Super Bowl teams on your schedule it makes it extremely tough.
And plus, here's the other thing too. The AFC East isn't a joke anymore. When the Patriots were running the East, we had the Patriots and the three little piggies who just did nothing. The Jets, folks, and look, I'm no Jets fan. I don't want to hear Jets fans, but they're a quarterback away. If they get Rodgers, they leapfrog us like that. Okay, they're that good. That's a team that needs one wide receiver and one quarterback because they got the defense, they got the running backs, they got the running game, and they got Wilson at one wide receiver spot. They're one wide receiver and one quarterback away from being a contender. So they're no pushover anymore. We can't be laughing at the Jets. They're for real. And the Patriots still got Belichick, and they have
all of his old coaches.
Motivated.
All of his old coaches are back. He just needs Mike McDaniel to get fired from the Raiders, and then they'll bring him back, and it'll be the old gang again. Except the only thing that they would be missing they'd be missing Tom Brady. That's the only thing they'd be missing. They'd have all the coaches except for Tom, and they wouldn't have Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't put nothing past that guy because we know he's not afraid to bend the rules. I put nothing past him. So I don't even like to pick on the Patriots, but you can't sleep on them either. AFC East, those games are brutal, and then you got the – I will say this, at least the tough games are at home. The majority of the tough games are at home. That helps. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now we got the combine starting up soon. Without a pick in round one, I don't really care about the combine. We'll do some stuff on the draft. But again, when your first pick is in like the 50s, I think, it's like, I can't go nuts. Like, I ain't doing mock drafts for round two. That ain't happening, folks. And, you know, I know it's like, I ain't going to sit here and do mock drafts for round two. Most people can't get round one right. You think we're going to start doing mock drafts for round two? No way. But what we're going to find out here in the next few weeks before March, was it like 10th, 11th, whatever, Dolphins got to cut some players, got to restructure some contracts. They got to be under the salary cap really, really quick here in less than a month. And it's going to be interesting to see what moves they make, who stays, who goes, who restructures, because they got to get under the cap. And then when free agency starts, like a few days later after that, or like the next day, that legal tampering period, we'll see how much of a players they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be super active. I think they'll. Here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to sign one player on offense, whether it's a tight end, whether it's an offensive tackle. They'll sign
running
one,
back, maybe.
Quote unquote. I doubt it, but anything's possible. I'm talking one splash type move, okay. One offensive splash,
Josh Jacobs.
And then they'll make one. And then they'll make one addition on defense, maybe like a low key safety or like a low key linebacker. And I think then after that, I think they're going to wait for that second, third wave of free agency, try and get some guys cheap, and just pick in round two, three, and that's it. Because they
don't have,
for lack
a lot
of a better word, shot their load last year with Hill and Chubb and passed up all that money. And, you know, you can't do that every year. And their team is their team, and they'll make some key additions here, key additions there. But, yeah, we'll see what they do in the next couple weeks. Two last things here as we wrap up. Throw a touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill. It's officially May 20th now.
May 20th.
It was pushed back a week.
Right.
Yeah, got moved back a week. If you want to throw a touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, May 20th in South Florida, the information's on our website. The information is on our Twitter feeds. It's a little bit of money. It's $2,500, but that money's tax deductible. So remember that, tax deductible. You get some one-on-one FaceTime with Tyreek Hill. You can throw him a touchdown pass. There's a professional photographer, snaps a picture, blows it up to 16 by 20. Tyreek autographs it right in front of you. There's free food. There's going to be some live music. And you get one-on-one FaceTime with the future Hall of Famer, Tyreek Hill. They did this last year with Tua. It was outstanding. Everyone who went and had a blast. And I think with Tyreek, with his personality, having some one-on-one FaceTime with Tyreek and be able to throw him a touchdown and have a professional photographer snap it and blow it up. It's pretty
great.
Cool. So I know it's kind of expensive, but it's tax deductible as well.
And we've seen a couple people sign up already, which is sound like it's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be like 100 people. It's probably
You're going to get your one-on-one FaceTime with them. Yeah. Yeah. And like as we said, Tyreek is going to the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. So
yeah.
Other thing, our Tua bobblehead contest. I don't know. Well, it's out of the way. One more week. Actually a few more days. When it ends, what? Let's say 15th. This weekend, you got to submit your entry to win a very rare, only 102 were made, Tua Nickelodeon bobblehead slime time doll. Only 102 were made. Awesome. Back in week two, when he had that explosive second half versus the Ravens, threw all those touchdowns, threw all those yards, he was Nickelodeon's player of the week. Well, because of that, they made 102 Nickelodeon bobblehead dolls from FOCO, and I am giving one away in this contest. It takes 2 seconds to send in your submission. It is free to play. You got nothing to lose. This thing is in the box, mint condition, never been touched. And that's this contest. And when this one's over, and I got two more in the bank. I got a Jalen Waddle bobblehead to give away. And here's a rare one. And Eric Uzakama bobblehead. Now, Eric, what am I going to do? Here's the deal. If Eric Uzakama turns into Jerry Rice, this thing, mint condition in its box, you'll be able to send your kids to college on it. So, yeah, I know Eric Uzakama is not the biggest thing. But, hey, you never know. So we're going to have a bunch of contests this offseason. I'm going to mix it up. You're not going to have to do the same thing for each one. I'll mix it up. So bobblehead season's here. As the first one is for Tua. Then I got a Waddle and an Eric Uzakama. And I might have some more on the way to give away here and some contests. So everyone check out DolphinsTalk.com for that. And also check out Ian's Twitter feed, mine. We'll tweet out here like a mad rush these last few days. So everyone who wants to get in can. And because these things are worth big money. I was never into the bobblehead game. up until like the past few years. And when I first got them, I was opening them up, putting them on this thing. Then somebody said, hey, stupid, leave them in the box because those things can be worth thousands down the road. So now when I get new ones, so I always pay for one. And sometimes for me to promote them, they'll send me one. Well, the one they send me, I put up for these types of contests for listeners. And I leave them all in boxes now because I got enough of them out here. I leave them all in boxes and I'm hoping I'm hitting the big money one someday down the road. So I got very nice with people from FOCO and we will give a bunch away here in the next few months.
Awesome. Awesome. Exciting. All right, man. Well, we got, we got a couple months. What's next? So the you said that the combine draft.
Next is combine, but I don't, There's 200 people there, 200 players. Our first pick's in round two.
Yeah, we're not going
to. I'm not going to break down players who probably aren't coming to Miami. It's, when we had, you know, multiple picks in round one, okay, we had a rough idea what they were doing. Okay, that, first pick's in round two is just a waste of time. Yep. So probably the draft. Probably free agency early March. And then we'll pop on with shows when news breaks. Who knows? They might, it's the Dolphins. Anything can always happen. So be sure to follow Ian at Ian693. Follow myself at Dolphins Talk. We'll be in touch whenever there's a reason to do a show in the next few days and weeks. Everyone have a great one. And don't forget, let's put an end to highway profanity.
Love you, Dad. Fins up. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.